Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Kim Lee of TripleCrownCounter.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in this moment, we're joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Continental Lee of ContinentalLee.com in Mission Viejo, California. We will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Ms. Elvira of Elvira.com in Forestville, California. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection. Traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ollie. Miss Cat?
Hi, Tammy Lee. Well, nice to hear your voice.
Thanks, ma'am.
How's the weather down in lovely Florida?
It's not sunshine.
It's not.
We're never for the sunshine state, but we've got a little bit of some rough weather running through here, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see some signs of fall here shortly, my favorite season of the year.
Really?
But we've had some thunderstorms, and I'm actually out at the beach during the storm.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Oh, my. Well, we know you like to hang out at the beach. You're a beach gal. Well, you know, I have to say, we're having all the sun, I guess. We had rain, which was totally unexpected during the week, but it's all cleared up now. Things here are doing pretty well. I want to, before we bring everybody on, I'm going to say hello to Ollie.
Hello, hello. Always glad to be on.
Yeah, I'm gonna just take a moment here, if you don't mind, to just give a little shout out to some friends of ours who have done us a huge favor. I want to name them by name. Angelique Chappelle, thank you. And Jamie Stevenson, thank you. And there's been a few others, but those two, more than anyone else, helped us locate and deal with a massive, massive fraud that was being perpetrated in our names. This, by our, I mean the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers. And there's about 32 of us. And a woman named Emily Westbrook, calling herself Amelia, although previously she had called herself Magical Emily, was selling what we call imaginary spells on Etsy, on Craigslist, and at a website. And these spells that she sold were not cheap. They were costly. And all of them were advertised with photos that were taken directly from altar work that was done by our members of AIR, not just one, not just two, not just three, not just four. We counted a total of about 40 different photos of our altar work that she had put up on her sites, all three of them, and what she was claiming was her root work. And these fabulous friends of ours really helped us out. They were kind of a little bit like, uh-oh, I hope to be not the bearer of bad news, but they really did help us out. And special super thanks, Angelique and Jamie, who were the kind of, and another, Susan Barnes, that was another one who helped out. People in Oklahoma particularly rallied to help us because this gal lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she posted on her website that she's a a PhD candidate and that she's a busy person, doesn't have time to do a lot of spell work for people, but when she takes it, you better give her your money quick. Really strange type posts, all of it illustrated with our photos. And we call these imaginary spells. In other words, it wasn't that we were mad because, hey, she plagiarized us. That means take our name and used our photos. She didn't actually, you know, she credited it to herself. That is plagiarism. It wasn't that we were mad that she violated our copyright. That's the right to copy. And she did do that. She copied our stuff without permission. But the creepiest part was that she was selling imaginary spells to people who are at their most vulnerable. These are people who've lost a love, people in poor health, people who have a money problem, people who are facing a court case. She had these pictures up. She even labeled them wrong. In other words, she'd take a picture that we had for a reconciliation, she'd label it Red Hot Passion Spell. She didn't even bother. I mean, they were just pictures to her. And she was, everybody contacted her at AIR whose pictures had been stolen. I mean, she must have gotten 30 letters. And she replied with a form letter to all of us saying that a friend of hers had done this, and she understood copyright, and she hadn't meant to do that. She had intended to put up what she referred to as generic, neutral photos only. So let this be a warning. If you see someone who's advertising spell work on an altar and they put up generic neutral photos, that's imaginary spells. She replaced our photos in some cases with pictures that are like what I call generic neutral photos. You know, a man hoisting a woman up on a beach with the sunset behind them, kind of done in yellow and black silhouettes, you know, that kind of thing. Generic neutral photo only. That's not a spell kit. And that's not a spell that kit that she can sell you, and it's not a spell that she can perform for you. She had put up a picture of one of Susan Diamond's beautiful, beautiful rituals that she performs at Serpent's Kiss with a money ritual. This was an altar. I mean, I guess that thing was 6 feet long. It had like a dozen gorgeous jumbo green candles, a goddess wrapped in gold lame. I mean, this thing was like this incredible altar, and Susan is very artistic. And she put that on Craigslist, and on Craigslist she gave a different name to her company. Not just Magical Emily, not just Ultimate Magic, and not Amelia's Hoodoo Spellcasting, but on Craigslist, she gave the name of her company as Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. That happens to be the name of a book I wrote that's been in print since 2002, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. That's what she called her company. She put up Susan Diamond's photo of this beautiful ritual, that a public ritual that Susan had performed, a money drawing ritual. And she said, this picture of this altar represents my work for clients. Straight out said it. So thanks to everyone who reported her. Thank you so much to Nagashiva, who patiently went through and posted the DMCA, which is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, takedown notices. Her Ultimate Magic site is now offline. Her Craigslists are down. Her Etsy shop is still there. You can protest to Etsy. She changed the photos, but if you go to her sold pictures, the sold photos still show pictures from AIR, and we're still working on that. Thanks, huge thanks to Dr. E for grabbing a screenshot. She was taking these things down even as he was working on it. He goes, went back to check, and he goes, whoa, she's changed it. He got a screenshot of a good dozen of them, but seriously, there were 30, 40 of them on that one page alone. And we put those on AIR. And if you go to the AIR website, readersandrootworkers.org, or you can just go to rootworkers.com, and it'll all get you there. You can go to the Fake Psychics page. Now, you can find that page by going to the community portal, and that is where we have a list of everything that is public outreach and things to help people in the client and worker community. And the little headline there, and when you go into the community portal, says, don't get ripped off by fake psychics. Click on that link. Or you can just go to Google, type in Readers and Root Workers Fake Psychics, and that page will come right up. And you'll see the picture that Dr. E made. Just fabulous. I mean, he nailed her. And you'll see what we know about her. Now, people have said, my God, won't you get in trouble for naming her? Well, folks, that's her name, Emily Westbrook. This is a lady who did this. She will resurface again. This was not an accident. She didn't do this, oh, my friend did this by mistake. I was supposed to have her post generic neutral photos. No. She had Craigslist. She had Ultimate Magic. She had Magical Emily, which came down, and then she had Amelia
Amelia's hoodoo spell casting, and she called her Craigslist hoodoo urban magic. She claimed to be a student of Denise Alvarado. Denise has privately posted, and we shared that with the AIR members, and I'll tell people too. Denise Alvarado said, this woman was no student of mine. She'd read a book of mine, and I want my name out of that. And Denise sent her a takedown, take my name out of this. And she also listed a few other people as her teachers, which means she bought some books at Barnes & Noble or something. Beware, folks. I know this is a long rant, but I want you to listen up. Do not spend money. This woman was charging $75 and up, and some much up a lot from that, for spells that she never, not only wouldn't cast for you, but she had never cast anything even remotely like them because she had no photos from her own website. She replaced our photos with what, these generic neutral photos. Why? The lady didn't even have a candle to light for you. Okay? So be careful, folks. And so many people come to us, and they have real problems, and they have real need, and we're here to help. Always, always go to somebody who will give you a first and last name, someone who will give you a phone number where you can reach them or an address, someone who has pictures of their altar and that you can see it's their own, is their own altar, not somebody else's altar.
Pictures of their own work. They show you that they're actually doing this stuff.
That's right. Pictures of their work. And remember, you can ask for a performance contract. And now what I mean by a performance contract, if you go to AIR, again, at the community portal, you'll see there's a thing called sample contract. A performance contract is not a guarantee of success. We cannot guarantee success. Your doctor will not guarantee success. Your lawyer will not guarantee success, and neither will your root worker. But we can guarantee performance. In other words, that we will do the work. And you can, whatever limit of money that you feel comfortable squandering or losing, at that limit, if that limit is reached, whether for you it's $25 or $75, you can say, I want a performance contract. And we have sample wording for contracts, and you can use it. Now, some people say, I won't work for a contract. That's fine. Then you go find another root worker who will. Many of them won't do a contract if it's less than $100. They say, if it's less than $100, I'll just refund you if you don't feel satisfied. Some people will say, I'll do a contract at the drop of a handkerchief. I don't care. And I'm one of those. I mean, if somebody wants a contract, I got no problem. Just here you go. There's your contract. But for the love of God, don't squander your money on people who won't be there for you. Okay? This thing just really got me so upset. And I've been told I'm a bully. Am I a bully for publicly shaming this person?
I don't think so.
I don't feel like a bully. I really don't. I feel like a person who is simply holding the mirror up to Emily Westbrook and saying, there's the mirror. Look at yourself. Look what you're doing. You're hurting people. You're taking their money for imaginary spells. Now, maybe someday she will learn how to cast spells and she will have photos of her own work. Good luck, Emily. All right. That was that sermon. And I hope that was of help to people. And I'm going to say one other thing. I found out through another member of AIR that it is possible that when she sells material using photos of someone else's work, that under Oklahoma state law, and she does live in Oklahoma, it is possible that she could be sued for a split on the money because she used their photo to sell her work. I find that humorous. But, we're not done with this yet. Let's just say there's a lot going on here with this lady, and she deserves to be brought before the public. So, it's not a funny situation. It's a truly fraudulent, ethicless, and morally bankrupt situation.
And you feel for the people who have already purchased her services and things like that. Well, hopefully everyone will learn a lesson from this, both clients who will know what to look for in terms of what is a professional, who is a professional, what are the kind of warning signs, as well as Emily will learn from this and other professionals will learn from this if they decide that they want to put up their shingle, what it means to be a root worker. And it is a responsibility. When you take on other people's work, you are taking on their situation. And it means that you do the best of your ability to demonstrate that you are ethical, that you are willing to be a person who can be trusted, that And when you do things like that, it shows that you're not even willing to be trustworthy. Not just that you're not trustworthy, but you're not willing to even try. So it is definitely a responsibility. Now, I have just a really quick announcement. Interesting, we're talking about professionals and root work and all that. Well, this week is St. Cyprian's feast days coming up, which is Saint on the 26th of September. Just a little information for people who are curious. St. Cyprian's feast day is on the 26th, so if you're a devotee of him or you are interested in him, it would be a good day to light a purple candle, leave out a glass of water, say a little prayer. I know there's a bunch of people, of my colleagues, who are doing stuff for St. Cyprian. So just bear that in mind. Now, I offer a service for people who are interested. If you want, I run a very public ceremony for St. Cyprian today, and I can add your names to the petition. It's a petition for blessing and protection throughout the year. All you have to do is shoot me an email with your name. If you want to send a photo and a date of birth, you can. I always offer this up via my blog, and then I get inundated with emails, but that's all right. You could send me your name, and I can add you to the working that I do for St. Cyprian today on the 26th.
Well,
if you are interested, go ahead and shoot me an email.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's a great thing. I love the fact that you're working with St. Cyprian. Reminds me of our dear Auntie Cindy Toto, who works with St. Joseph and also offers similar types of things, and our dear Miss Michael, who works with Bayard Rustin. Many of us do have these feast days and saint days and do that.
Well,
and Saint Cyprian is, for those unfamiliar, Saint Cyprian is the saint of occultists. And so we're thrilled. That's really great. And you are so well known for that work, and of course that wonderful book you wrote on Saint Cyprian. I very much appreciate that book.
Thank you.
Sells very well too. It sells very well in our shop.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's a good book. It's a good book.
Anything to spread his name.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right, well, I'm now going to move on to our guest, Elvira. Come on in, honey.
Hi there.
Okay.
Hi. This
How
is
you doing,
his...
Sandra Manali?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
this is Miss Elvira of AIR. She's been a guest before. Miss Elvira. Tell us what you've been up to real brief, and then we're going to go to our panel discussion as quick as we can.
Okay. Well, obviously, I've been doing a lot of help with a lot of people that have been calling in, and, of course, I do work at your shop, Lucky Mojo, 3 days a week, and when I'm not doing that, I'm doing readings for the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. Basically, I'm gearing up for the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, which is coming up in less than a month, and have been really helping the promoters of it and working on getting things organized and getting kind of excited. And, you know, so that's really that, other than, you know, taking care of my pups and my kitties. So that's pretty much it.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair. This is the first year that this is happening. It's a one-day fair. There's going to be vendors, readers, and healers of various types. Do you know anything about, I mean, can you tell us a little bit of background about how many people are going to be vending there, what the price is, a little few things like that?
Well, our time, of course, is going to be Saturday, October 19th, and it'll be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It'll be at the Santa Rosa Veterans Building, which is located at 1351 Maple Avenue, Santa Rosa. Being the first one, they did it for a one day, but they want to promote it for next year to be a 2 day. We're going to have, we have people that are doing henna. We have people, henna tattooing, and mm-hmm. we have astrology. We have people doing energy work, crystals being sold, crystal work. We obviously have workshops that will also be going on, as well as having the vendors both for products and, of course, our readers and all different, the whole spectrum from basic tarot to aura readings and numerology and energy work. So we've got that. We've got food and drink concessions and even clothing. There's going to be some interesting vendors that have clothing. Our general admission, which means everybody gets in for $5, and we have free parking. And I believe they're going to be putting together a package for getting four people in for about $4 each. So it's going to, they're working on putting a package, which they will put up on their website, which is basically SantaRosaMysticFair.com. And they are also, you are going to be one of the presenters at the workshop section as well. I know that. And so am I. You're going to be doing candles. I'm going to be doing things on the labyrinth. And we even have things for children. We want it really family-friendly, so they put in a whole thing for children, children's games. They can win prizes. They're going to have a children's costume contest that they're going to do, and when they're judged and the young person that wins will get a basket of goodies. So they're really going all out for this and really want to see this grow bigger. So.
Wow, this is wonderful. This sounds really, really great. Santa Rosa, for those of you unfamiliar with it, is a town in Northern California, north of the San Francisco Bay Area. We're in, technically still in the Bay Area, where what's called North Bay. And Santa Rosa is the largest nearby town, you know, north of San Francisco. It's a pretty big town and become a city, I guess you could say. All righty. Well, that is really, really great. Wonderful
sounds
to hear
exciting.
It.
Exciting.
Yeah, and it's nice to know that they're already planning ahead for the next one. All right.
They get
so, yeah, okay. Well, that means they've got all the vendors they need and things are looking good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe it won't miss Miss Phoenix will be there. And
Miss Phoenix will be. Mm-hmm.
And Apollo Dark will be there. Lou Flores will be there. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
These are all people that are, you know, around Lucky Mojo and or in air, and they will be there at this thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. And also they are members of Hoodoo Psychics in some case, too. I think they all are.
Yes.
Okay. So there we go. All right. Now, we still have a few minutes for our panel discussion, although we're crowding it. I'm sorry I had to give that long, long explanation about what was going on in the early part of the show. But our topic for the panel discussion is Crown of Success work. So since Elvira, you proposed the topic, how about you lead off? Tell us about Crown of Success work and how you do it. And I know you're well known for it.
Well, I like to, once I've done a reading and I've gotten an idea what the person is looking for, I try to do sequences. I feel that, you know, doing a sequence of candles is part of it, and then doing bathing and then some of the other herbal work that I suggest. So it kind of encompasses, but obviously I really feel akin to the fire, so I love to give different kinds of spell work for doing it. So I may suggest that they do a certain kind of candle work, and then I add certain herbs that I wish them to work with on their altar. I always work with getting them to place their altar in the appropriate location based on preferably based on where they are, where they're doing their work in their home. But sometimes, like, there'll be a bathroom door, so I'll have to give them a remedy for that. And I know if we talked about this before the last time, I do geomantic work, but it's both Hawaiian and Western European, and it's not a divination. It's energy placement, so it'd be like feng shui in the Asian tradition. So I will work with them to get that organized, and then I get them set up to do their spell work in a location that is better beneficial, because I always like to help them do the work, and then I will do the candle work, or I will do whatever it is I'm doing. But I always like them to work with me, because it's about re-empowering themselves in whatever they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I think of Crown of Success work, of course, that name comes out of the name of an oil, Crown of Success oil. You could call it success work, and some people just make a success products, but I love the name Crown of Success, and I have found a few things that I like to use. I like to use, when I'm doing Crown of Success work, I use Crown Royal Whiskey. Now, that is not an old, old hoodoo thing, but it is something very found in hoodoo. But that brand of whiskey only started in the 1930s. 30s, and it came from Canada, and it is still made in Canada. So I would say it entered the U.S. in the post-World War II era, but it has little bottles in the shape of a crown. And if you're using whiskey to dress your mojo, if you're using whiskey to make a tonic, for instance, to put some roots and herbs in and soak the goodness into the whiskey and then take the whiskey as a tonic, use Crown Royal for your Crown of Success. And also, Crown Royal whiskey comes in little purple bags with yellow Crown Royal lettering on it and little yellow drawstrings, and I love those to work, and the smallest sized ones they go around the little mini bottles, those can be used as tiny little Crown of Success mojo bags. So that's my little tip on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. What about you, Ollie? What do you do for Crown of Success?
I mentioned in the chat, whenever I do success work, and I do quite a bit of success work because I'm myself in academia, and I work with a lot of people who they themselves are in academia, or they're students, or they're aspiring professors, or they are looking for tenure or something along those lines, or just looking for help along tests. For me, tactile work, this is a Taurus in me, it comes big in work like this. I do work with candles, but I am much more a mojo, talisman, powders type of guy. And so whenever I do Crown of Success work, or what I just call success work, is I create mojo bags with keys, anointing the person, taking Crown of Success oil, and anointing the head with it. And I find this type of work works really well. I like the idea of being able to carry something with you, especially if you're going to go take a test. I like the idea of having fixed keys, and there's ways of looking at the crossroads and dressing the keys and praying over them and smoking and all those sorts of things to kind of fix those keys for success work. And that's how I actually use root work to bring about success for clients. Mojo bags and keys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Elvira, back at you. Give us another Crown of Success.
Okay. Well, what I like to do, I kind of am hearing that I combine one of the things that I like to suggest is taking a Crown of Success candle, which is basically by what we are using, it's yellow, and sometimes they can't get to the vigil candle, so I suggest just a yellow taper, and anointing it with the Crown of Success oil, and then placing it in the center of their altar, and then taking three coins and placing them around the candle in such a way that it'll form actually a triangle, and then with a downward point, and then the upward pointing three allspice berries that they would form another triangle. So it becomes the Star of David that the candle is sitting in, and then take salt and circle it around the entire candle work so that it becomes a column of sacred energy that they're working on. And then I would suggest that they burn this on Sunday in such a manner that they can do, and I usually like to do it in threes if that, I don't get a pattern or something. I'll just say take 3 weeks and do one candle, leaving everything set up, but redress a new candle and do it for 3 weeks and, work on the work that they want to be doing in terms of study or going for some kind of a business.
That's really nice. That's really nice. I like that kind of thing, and after the calls, we take the calls, we're going to come back and we're going to ask you for another one because you are our lead on this one. I hope that when we come back you describe that beautiful Crown of Success spell that's an air that's on one of, there's a picture of it on your page, and I'd love to hear more about that one. But there, we're going to go take some callers now, and we will return to the subject of Crown of Success at the end of the show. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Let's bring Miss Tammy Lee in here and get started with taking calls from our guests.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Condiment Ali. And this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will put the area code. The area code is announced. We'd like to and let our announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. And I'm going to go ahead and double check here on something for our first caller, which may be calling in from area code 925 from Livermore. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Could you go ahead and for me, please, sir, if you could just tell me your screen name at Lucky Mojo Forum. Is this Sage? I'm just confirming. Okay, great.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. This is from Livermore, California. And I'm going to go ahead and host you. The first time coming into the show, on to any other readers and root workers from here.
Uh-oh. We're losing Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Miss Tammy Lee, you're breaking up. Can you get into a better position? Because it sounds like cell phone trouble.
All right, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
All right, here we go. I've been acting and directing theater and film in the Bay Area for a decade. But of late, I have felt disconnected from and unsatisfied and work with the opportunities available here. Currently on unemployment, barely able to make ends meet. I'm in an embarrassing position of relying on my fiancé for the bulk of our survival, utterly at a loss to what I should be doing with my life. I find myself at a crossroads with no idea of what path to choose and no clear sign or signage in view. Am I following the right path or should I be doing something else with my life? Your mighty wisdoms of root work advice are deeply needed and most welcome. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Sage. I'm going to say a couple of things here first, and I know it's not going to be a surprise to you. Anyone who chooses what we would refer to as a bohemian lifestyle has to be prepared to be at the whim and mercy of changing public fads, fancies, tastes, and interest in novelty. So those who choose the bohemian lifestyle rather than plugging in 9 to 5 day after day after day after day have to be prepared that they might have to do a quick sea change. The tide ebbs out, the tide comes in. So doing acting and directing in theater and film in the Bay Area for a decade, you may find yourself beached for a moment, and you may come back, and you may not. And we all know these stories, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, indeed.
All right. So I guess my question for you, because you're relying on your fiancé for the bulk of your survival, are you doubting acting and directing as a career? And you say, am I choosing the right path? And you say, should I be doing something else? Do you have something else in mind? Have you always wanted to take care of autistic children or castrate pets for a living? I mean, what is your other choice here?
Well, I'm also, I've found myself doing a lot of writing, nothing that I'm paid for directly, but it's just something that's sort of been taking a lot of my time and energy of late in a very good way.
Good. All right. So writing is your other choice. And are you writing about theater and film, or are you going in a different direction entirely?
I do both. I write about theater and film, and I also write fiction.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, understanding all of that, now I think I'm going to start on a reading. And I have to say, the reason I ask these questions is try to focus in on what you're doing, you know. Okay. So I'm just going to throw down 3 cards and see what I get. Okay. Card number 1. Does indicate that there has been, in the recent past, there has been definite slowness of money The card is called the Knight of Pentacles. This is a guy on a horse who's holding a coin and would be bringing it forward to us, but he just is, his horse is at a dead standstill. So this time of stalled money has lasted longer than your past examples of this, and it's going to last longer. Over in the far distance, we see a couple of oak trees, which indicate that you can get to some stability, and you've had stability in the past. But this says to me, be prepared. This is not a temporary thing. It is going to be a little bit of a time before you really can get your finances together. So do what you can to deal with that. Be prepared for that. The next card is a card that tells me you may wait a while before you get some good money from the either the acting and the directing or the writing. This card is called the Three of Wands, and it shows a man who, those of us who read this tarot deck I use, which is the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, we know this to be the Magician, but his clothes are all patched, and he's been waiting. He puts the magic into motion, but he's waiting, and he's leaning against his wands up on a hill overlooking the bay. It looks just like the San Francisco Bay to me. And the sun has gone down. The sky is turning that kind of golden glow, and there's a golden glow on the water, and three little ships are coming in. So from whenever this, what we might call it, poverty drought started, you're going to have at least three cycles, and I would call that possibly 3 years, of struggle. But things will turn around. Now, this doesn't say that you need to go in a different path. It just says hold tight, patch and mend your clothes, keep your expenses to the base that you have to, do what you need to stay together. But something that you have set in motion already, something you have set in motion already will be successful.
Last guy?
Yeah. I'm hearing Tammy Lee's voice in my ear, and I shouldn't be. Please take care of that. So the third card that I have here is a card that tells me that you probably do need to have another a string to your bow. And this card is a card that says you have actually not just two choices, not just writing versus being in film and theater, but you actually have a number of choices. And this may be part of what's the problem. Okay, this card is called the Seven of Cups, and it shows a person who's overwhelmed with choices. They have a little cup with a house. They have a little cup with some gold and silver. They have academic credentials. They have a dragon of fear. They have jealous and gossiping friends. They have a head of idle drunkenness, and they have a friend or partner who is or a spiritual being who attracts their attention with a kind of a glow. And what I see here is that you need to narrow this down. I cannot choose for you, but it also tells me that you are multi-talented, and avoid those things which do not bring you profit and which do not bring you happiness, such as your fears and the gossiping people. But you actually do have the potential to pursue more than one thing at a time. Keep your hand in all of them, but don't let yourself be stalled out by just looking at all the bright, shiny opportunities and just sort of standing there dumbfounded, like, I have so many things I could do. Pick something and do it. It may be a while. That's my call on this. Let's turn it over to Elvira and see what she reads.
Well, it's interesting that you have the Three of Wands, because I wound up with, in the center of how I do the reading, I have the Three of Pentacles, and I also have the Three of Cups. So a confirmation that the three cycle is very, you know, three, there's a three time frame here is very strong. I do see the fact that his fiance is in the Two of Cups. It's kind of below the Three of Pentacles. It's like, yes, she is supporting you financially, and at this moment you're relying on her, but she sees it as an investment in her future, because obviously there's the Hierophant and the Four of Wands, which is marriage and happiness. So she's looking at the investing in the situation as investing in her future. So even though it may be difficult for you to stay in that particular frame of mind when you're really on a day-to-day basis, you do have that love. That person is really putting her effort into it. So as far as your future and what's coming up, I would say put out six different projects. I would say, you know, yes, you've got a lot of different options, just as Ms. Kat said, but there seems to be something that will draw in money. It's a number six will draw in money. So it may be the sixth idea you come up with or the sixth writing project that you are working on that pulls the money in. I would say at this point that you do get money and you do seem to, you know, you're going to get money. It's always at the nick of time. It's kind of like you have to, there's a sense of let go of some of the agitation and stress in your mind to be able to get into a better space for you, because I think that's what's really locking things down, even because you're creative. And part of what you do is you use your mind and the creativity. So I would say unlock that stranglehold you have right now, because what I see here is the Ace of Pentacles, so final outcome for what I'm seeing.
Yeah, Ace of Pentacles is good money. So we're not saying, neither of us are saying that you need to get a day job, a really grim, you know, give up all your dreams and hopes. We're seeing that this is a cycle, but it's a longer bad cycle than some, but you will pull out of it and come up with something new. Now, what I'd like to do is get Ollie involved in getting you some root work that will bring that next success cycle in as soon as possible. So, Ollie, how about you give some ideas here?
You know, looking into this situation and hearing of the readings that we got, what I get is a transition really requires a kind of shift, magically speaking. What you'd want to do is find yourself a crossroads where you're going to be able to work. I would recommend a place a little bit more remote so that you can work undisturbed. I live in an urban area, as I assume you do. I just don't care if people walk by. So either the personality of I don't give a crap and go out there and do your work without fear, or look for a remote area, okay?
So would I be working with Papa Legba on this one?
No. Okay, Papa Legba is coming from a completely different tradition.
Okay.
We're working in the down-home southern practice of Hoodoo. This is, that does not mix any other religious tradition. It comes from much Protestant background.
I was speaking about voodoo on that one, though. You're right.
Yeah, that's a completely different tradition. So I'm just going to give you down-home southern conjure from a Virginian conjure, all right? So what you're going to do is you're going to go out crossroads that you can work, and you're going to take with you four candles. You're going to take an orange candle with you. You're going to take two green candles and a purple candle.
Okay.
And you're going to set these candles up at each branch of the crossroads. You're going to stand, standing right in the middle so that there is a sort of, you're right in the middle of the cross. In front of you, you're going to put the orange candle. You're going to dress that with road opener oil.
Mm-hmm.
To your right, you're going to put down the green candle, and you're going to dress that with money drawing. To your left, you're going to put the other green candle, and you're going to dress that with prosperity.
Dr. Menelie,
yes.
Sorry to stop you, but it seems that there's more than one person on this call.
Okay.
I'm Sage Sage, and there seems to be somebody else.
Yeah,
about
like for some reason it got kind of mixed up, and she.
Okay, so
we had two callers on the line. Edward,
yeah.
Stage Sage did not ask about Papa Legba. Somebody else got on the line from the same area code, apparently, and we have had a complete cross line thing because we've been hearing these other voices. Let's get back.
That was a technical problem. Sorry about that problem.
Right.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we was definitely two callers, and they were both. That would just ditch Papa Legba. Okay. No disrespect intended. Goodbye. Let's get back to the stage.
Okay? For Edward. Okay. So this is your recommendation. Hopefully you've been following along.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Good. The next caller. The next candle is going to be a green candle that you dress with prosperity or wealthy way, and that's going to be at the other crossroads, at the other branch of the crossroads. You've got the two green candles kind of on your side, the road opening before you. Behind you is you're going to put a purple candle dressed with crown of success. Okay? And so you're going to have light these candles so that you're in the center of them. Now, be sure that you put this a distance away. Okay? You're going to put that at the crossroads, and you've got light going in every direction. And you're going to say, from every corner of the world, from all branches of the crossroads, I draw in my success. I draw in my prosperity. I draw in my wealth. Now, today, this instant. Okay? You're going to pray from the bottom of your heart that the candles light the way for your success. And you're going to sit in the middle of that crossroads, and you're going to fashion for yourself, by light of those candles, a mojo bag. Okay? And you're going to put in that mojo bag five-finger grass, gravel root, cinnamon, ear's tongue for eloquence, bay leaf for success. You're going to put small pyrite, a small lodestone. I would recommend a lodestone grit that you fed some magnetic sand to. You're going to fashion that, put your prayers in them, breathe your prayers in the mojo bag, tie it off, let it hold it, awaken it by giving it some incense, giving it oil, and by heating up in the flames of each of those candles. So you're going to go to each one of those candles, and you're going to heat up that mojo bag. That mojo bag, you're going to also include a pinch of the crossroads of earth that you're at. That mojo bag is then going to be your ally in helping turn this situation around, helping you kind of bring that cycle now rather than later. Let those candles burn down, walk away without looking back, and you have yourself the power you need to go forward. That's what I sense that will turn this situation in your favor again. A good, strong, magical working that opens the roads and carries success with you wherever you go, okay?
Yeah, I like that. And I'm also going to say you tuned into the right episode here, because we are talking about Crown of Success work. And
yes,
stay tuned at the end of the show. Miss Elvira will be giving another Crown of Success working, and you might find that one also something that will be useful to you. As a person who has been a freelancer all my life, I do say that you have to kind of, you know, float those waves and like let them go up and down and up and down. I do recommend that anybody, and that's you and everybody else who lives the bohemian life of creativity, always squirrel some money away, you know, for the winter, is what I call it, you know, because there will be those times of increase and decrease. That's just part of what
Absolutely.
Being an artistic person is about, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, good luck to you, and I think that's you'll be fine, okay?
Thank you so much.
And also, one other thing I just have to point out, in the chat room, Madam Nadia said, if you do film, you should be able to become a wedding videographer. She just threw that out. So take it for what Madam Nadia knows a lot. But she's another person, a person who has lived by her wits as a person in film and in the arts. And nobody who can make a film should ever have to go without enough money. If nothing else, just do still photography, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, that was my advice from a practical point of view. Okay, let's take it away, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones to take our next client, and our next client is calling in from area code 202. Area code 202, are you there, caller? 202, are you there, caller? And would you mind please backing out the background noise? Great, super. And could you please confirm the name that you have on the Lucky Mojo Forum for us?
Mr. Nice Guy.
Mr. Nice Guy, super duper. Okay. All right, just hang tight. That's great. And welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read for our hosts what you've written here. Okay. And he writes, this is the first time that you've called into the show. You're calling in from Washington, D.C. And once again, you've never been on the show. I've had a few sexual encounters. Mr. Nice Guy, if you could please mute the background noise. Great. Thank you. I've had a few sexual encounters with a certain female a year apart at each time. As a result, I was told that I have a daughter that is now 3 years old. I've never denied the child, not one time after finding out. Shortly after seeing the baby the first time, I was arrested for 2 months. When I was in jail, I received a letter from her stating that the kid may not be mine. It has been hard for me ever since that the letter, because it's like she's trying to play with my emotions. My question is whether the kid is mine, and will I ever get to see her again? Turning it back over to you.
All right. We're going to give this one over to Conjure Man Ali. But first, I'd like to say thank you for accepting the child on you know, on the evidence of the mother. You might want to get a DNA test. All right, let's turn it over to Ali.
Yeah, that was actually something exactly what I was going to say. Mr. Nice Guy, you are clearly a nice guy, and it is good that you have accepted the child. I will say that, well, divination is excellent. I love doing it. This is something that you need to confirm with a DNA test, just like any type of medical situation. If we were to, you know, look into a health problem, we would always follow it up by saying, hey, you need to talk to a doctor about this and have them diagnose. So you need a paternity test. However, we are happy to take a look at the situation from a divination point of view. And looking into my ring, I have a carnelian ring here that I stare into with a spirit of divination that assists me with scrying. And I see three people, and they're not children, three people. So there is at least one other person that she believes this can be the father of the child. However, I do see the child here, and the child is closer to you. The sense I'm getting is that, yes, you are actually more than likely the father of the child. Definitely double check with the paternity test. The uncertainty comes from the fact that there was a proximity in terms of who she was with, as well as uncertainty in regards to you being in prison. There is a sense that you being behind bars or you having to deal with the legal system made her quite hesitant about having you in the child's life. And so while she is hesitant, while the mother is nervous about, you know, is unsure about the paternity, a large percentage of her decision to kind of write you that letter stems from more of a tactical decision on her part, more than anything else. She seems a little bit worried about, you know, what you'll bring into the child's life, what trouble can come from it. So take what she says with a grain of sand. Definitely push for a paternity test before anything else. And that's what I am getting in this particular reading, is that you will get to see your child again. You are more than likely the father of this child. Follow it up with a paternity test. And then if the paternity test comes out to agree with the definition, follow the legal means of ensuring that you remain in this child's life. Know that the decision that's being made, the reason that this letter was sent out to you, is a large percentage of it is concern. There is uncertainty, but more of it is concerned over what you'll bring into the child's life. But yes, you know, she is uncertain on her end. There is someone else in the picture that she was thought about going, this person could very well be the father as well. So there is definite uncertainty there, okay?
Okay. I'm going to use a form of divination that's very traditional. I'm taking off my wedding ring right now. It's a little tight. This is a form of divination that is used by people to divine on the gender of their child, also to divine for a friend if they should get married. You literally take off your wedding ring and you hang it from a thread or a string, and I've got it here hanging, and you train it to go either yes or no, one way or the other. Okay. Now, since this is very impromptu, the string that I'm using is actually the string from a mojo bag, so I just wrap my wedding ring through that, and I put it in what's called a lark's head knot,
all of you crafty people know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I've got my wedding ring, which represents my happy marriage, hanging on a string, and I'm going to ask the question, is the child yours? Okay, just give me a second here. Okay, yes, the child is yours. Wedding ring says the child is yours. Now, I stop it and stop the ring. And now, here's the next question I'm going to ask on your behalf. And since a pendulum can only answer yes or no questions, I'm going to ask for confirmation or denial of what Conjurman Ali said, which is that her decision to say the child might not be yours was based on the fact that you had been arrested. So I'm asking, was her decision to deny you the child based on the fact that you'd been arrested? Okay, yeah, I'm getting a yes again. So that's a yes. So I get a confirmation of the same thing that Ali said, the child is yours, and that her decision to deny you was based on her reluctance to have a person who'd been arrested in her life. If you can work that out, you'll be doing okay. Your other question was, will I ever see her again? I presume by this you mean the woman and the child, or both, right? Because you're not going to, or did you just mean, you mean both of them, right?
Yes.
All right. So will you ever see her again? That's a big yes. Oh, yeah, that's a yes. You will see them again. Absolutely. Okay? So that's what I see on that. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Elvira, and she's going to give you some root work advice to try to make this thing come out all for the best, to try to make it so that the woman is honest and true to you. Do get that DNA paternity test, please. Do not, and like any medical condition, as Ali said, do not just take the word of a reader or a diviner. You need a medical, and those paternity tests are not that expensive. All right, let me turn this over to Elvira.
Okay, well, I see it as, first of all, one of the things I would say is you want to get clarity in terms of not just your own questions you just asked, but for yourself. If you have a clear sense of what it is you're doing magic with, then you will wind up making a more powerful statement with your other parts of your spell work that you do. So I tend to suggest that you just go ahead, get a white candle, light it, and focus on it. You don't need to write anything or do anything, but it's like focusing your energies in a very calming way. And once you do light your white candle, then what I would suggest you do is get a small, you can get these as tumbled stones, a small moonstone and a small amber, and then a pinch of dill, D-I-L-L, and a pinch of deer's tongue. Now, these are going to be combined in a mojo bag that you will set up, put the items on your in front of your candle, and then you will put those there to cook, so to speak, while you do the rest of the project. What I want you to do is I want you to write out your fears of what it is that has blocked the situation, both your fears of yourself internally, your fears of what she's done, the negativity around her. And I want you to take and go ahead and put burn the paper using the candle that you've set in set on the altar, and then I want you to let the items in a dish, in a, basically it would be a good thing as a pan or a hibachi or whatever, and let it burn out so that you've got ashes. You will take those and you will walk away from your home at the end of the ceremony, and you will go ahead and throw them away in a I would suggest in a trash can, because this is trash. It is not something at this point about recycling energy. Then what I would do is also do a healing candle, and a blue candle with healing carved on it, and you can anoint it with healing oil if you have it, or if you just olive oil, a couple of drops of olive oil. And then what I want you to do is I want you to write down what you want in terms of healing, like heal the breach between this person, the woman, and myself, bringing healing and acceptance that I, as the father, wish to be into this child's life, and that I am a safe person for her child, for our daughter to be with, meaning work on the healing aspects, because what you do is you get rid of something, you want to put something back in. And so do that, and when you've done that, let the blue candle burn down, let the white candle burn down, and then I want you to take, if there's any wax of that, those two candles left over, take that and the paper, and I want you to put the wax in on top of that paper that you've written your little petition, your request, and I want you to put your moonstone, your amber, your dill, and your deer's tongue on it. Fold it towards you, making it a packet, and stick it into a mojo bag. And I would say a blue one would be very good, or a white one. It depends on what you can get your, you know, you have available to you. And then I want you to carry this. I also want you to be able, on a regular basis, to write out your fears and burn them, because at this point you really need to be able to clear yourself of that energy, and then also to take a bath. And usually it would go from a very strong one, which you use the herb hyssop and make a tea, and then put 3 tablespoons of it in your water and 3 tablespoons of salt and 3 tablespoons of vinegar, and then cleanse yourself, just rinse yourself down, and then let the energy go out of the drain. This is usually done before dawn, because it's usually a time when you are getting rid of something to start the new day. So I would have you do this once a week while you're trying to work through this particular aspect. Does anyone else have anything?
Well, that's really, really good. I'm gonna. What was the third thing you said in that bath? With salt, vinegar, and
salt, vinegar, and a hyssop tea.
Hyssop, of course, hyssop. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. That hyssop does always bring us to the 51st Psalm, which is a good thing to use too, as far as cleansing yourself of anything that you may have done wrong. I'm just going to add, too, there was a little questions were raised in the chat room. Why did I use my wedding ring? Could someone use an ancestor's ring? Could any ring be used? It is traditional among women diviners to use their own wedding ring. Men in the old days didn't usually wear a wedding ring, just women did. But if they did wear one, of course, they would use it. But it's a very typical woman's charm to use your wedding ring to determine the sex of a baby, whether your own or someone else's baby. And this was a question of parentage, and therefore I felt moved to use my wedding ring. Funny thing is, I am wearing 8 rings on my fingers today. Only one of them is my wedding ring, and that's the one I used. So I just happened to find that one useful, but you could use any kind of a pendulum. You could use a key for a pendulum, or a bell, or anything. You know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Black Cat asked me in the chat room, 8 rings, are they talismans? No. Today I'm wearing a sort of a claret colored dress, and all of my rings are garnets except for my wedding ring. Okay. Do you have anything to add to this, Ollie? Any suggestions?
I thought that was absolutely beautiful. Professor Ames has complimented Ollie's carnelian ring and Kat's wedding ring. He mentions it in the chat, and it's true. Both of them use rings for divination, and they actually work seamlessly very well together. I like that.
Yeah, aren't we a funny pair?
We're
like some weird astral twins. We know, and I didn't even think of that, or it's just...
It worked out, and it worked wonderfully.
Kat and Ollie, the Taurus twins.
I think the suggestions were excellent. I would also go. I would also add, if you have a picture of the child or a picture of you and the child together, if you don't, you can Photoshop it together. If you can even just tape it together, you and the baby, even the mother, if you'd like, put that in a frame that's been fixed and dressed with like blessing and protection and healing and peace, herbs and oils, and that can go a long way as well, in addition to the wonderful work that Ms. Elvira has mentioned, just briefly, of something to consider.
Okay, that's really great. Well, we hope for all the best for you, and I would say also, if you, I don't know what your religion is, but if you know about or see images of the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, you could always pray a prayer to the Holy Family. Let our hearts be united. Okay. You may not be able to be the one to help raise that child. Seems like this lady is on her own trip, but all blessings to you for wanting to care. That's so important in a child's life. And you know something? Even if you are not the genetic parent, you might be a better father than the genetic father. So always keep that in mind too. You have some interest here that is more than just economic. You have a heart interest, and that is so important in these days of so many abandoned children.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for that. All right, let's turn it back over to Miss Tammy Lee, and we're going to get our next caller.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjumental Lee of ConjumentalLee.com in Mission Viejo. And this week's special guest, Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com in Forestville, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now, our next caller is calling in from 949 from Orange County, California.
09.
909 Orange County. This is California Flame. California Flame, are you there, caller?
I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you so much, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time being on the show and that you have not yet gone to any other members of AIR, okay? And she writes, I'm a female who has been friends with a man who I used to work with for over a year. We developed a strong friendship. I've been having romantic feelings for him, and I felt like that we were well matched in many ways. He was flirtatious with me. Although we have spent the night at each other's homes on two occasions, each time he acted aloof. I noticed books on sex and love addiction in his library and decided to put him out of my thoughts, assuming that because of this confusing behavior towards me, he would still be dealing with his issues. The problem is that he keeps making overtures towards me and now wants to spend time together. I'm confused whether or not the feelings are genuine, and I'm wondering if I should make one final attempt to develop a romantic relationship with him or cut my losses and move on. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. So, let's ask a couple of questions here. I'm going to ask, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Taurus.
Taurus, okay. So you need a steady lover. And what is this man's sign of the zodiac?
He's a Sagittarius.
Cut your losses and move on. Okay, next. I'm sorry.
Well said.
All right. Elvira, will you take this reading?
Well, how appropriate, because I'm a Sagittarius.
Yeah, but sweetheart, she's a Taurus.
I know. Well, let's see what's going to happen. I'm going to use a combination between the tarot cards and the pendulum. I use an amethyst pendulum, which, by the way, I have bought at Lucky Mojo, so there's a beautiful compliment to having a product that I have acquired through the company. So what I'm seeing basically is that, Miss Kat seems to have called it, but it's not just because of the difference in astrology signs. What it is that you have a lot of desire and passion for wanting to become involved and have a fully dimensional relationship. This is not just sexual. And he, unfortunately, has a veneer of the understanding situation of being a man who's understanding and loving and caring. But underneath him, he's in great struggle. He's got the Five of Wands, which is basically strife. Mm-hmm. And he's also got the Four of Swords, which tends to tell me that
I mean, my cards show that the person is kind of in the shadows and that, you know, they're sort of not really ready to commit or do anything, but it's also kind of like skulking around. So I tend to really be concerned about the situation. And when I look at the other side of what I do my reading on a flip side is that, you know, magic will get you some success, but you're going to wind up constantly paddling your boat all the time to keep it going. So it's almost like you're going to do all the work to get him to be just like your sign, to be steady and to be there. He is going to want to go off and try new things. And, you know, your basic question is whether you should cut your losses. It's basically saying yes. Right.
Okay. All right. Nope. All right. Yeah. Now let's see what Ollie has to say.
Well, as from one Taurus to another, I can definitely talk about what Miss Cat was talking about. Taurus is in Sagittarius, and this is just some kind of astrology. There's so much more in depth that you'd want to look at your moon, your sun, your Venus and Mars, and see where will all of these intersect. Generally, Sagittarius and Taurus don't make the best lovers because Sagittarius is not what Taurus is looking for, and Taurus is not what Sagittarius is looking for, but there definitely brings a sense of adventure, and that's what I sense here. I've done a geomantic reading. I've cast the chart, and I'm looking into the seventh house, the house of relationships, and then we have Wea. Wea here tells us that there is a sense of excitement that's going on there. There's a sense of newness. There's a sense of, you know, things are sparking. There's interest on both parts, but it's changeable. Wea is a figure that is about constant change. It's about moving forward. It's about the inability to actually ground yourself into a relationship, into a serious, committed relationship. He's enjoying the attention of it all, and we can confirm this by looking now into the court, which shows the right witness is populace. Populace is about popularity. It's about getting affection from a group. So he's enjoying the attention he gets. He's enjoying the sort of reaction he can elicit from you. And it indicates to me that while he is sincere in his interest in you, it's more along the lines of what you make him feel. When he knows that you're attracted to him, when he knows that you like him, but it isn't fully manifesting or going forward into saying, yeah, I want to date this person. So Popula says it's more along the lines of him kind of affirming his ego. I also get a very strong sense here looking at Popula that he's learned some of these techniques that he's using with this, that he's deliberately kind of blowing hot and cold. It's not just him at a conflict or him at strife or him struggling with things. While he is struggling with things, this is also a very tactical decision on his part, where he notices you kind of pull away and he goes, no, come back, and he reels you back in. So this is a little bit of a tactic that he's using here, so be aware of that. And in terms of whether you two can go on and have a relationship, an answer is very clearly no. I have Carcer as the judge and Carcer as the left witness. This is very much a trap. It will not go forward. What you have is a cycle that will kind of repeat itself. He will blow hot, he will blow cold. He will give you just enough attention to make yourself doubt the decision of walking away. Tauruses are very, you know, once they decide they like something, they like it. And it's often hard for them to move on. Change doesn't come easily. And so he can kind of play to that. He'll say, oh, why don't you come over this weekend? Or, oh, how have you been? I miss you. And it's just enough attention that it rekindles your interest. But then when you move forward, he backs away. So there is a very clear dance here. Yes, he is certainly, got his problems. He certainly has his own issues. But a lot of this is stemming from his own tactical decisions of how to draw you in and how you make him feel. The answer, like Ms. Elvira said, will you two go on to have a serious relationship, is no. It's best to cut your losses and move on from this situation. Not a bad guy, but he is playing with your heart deliberately and because he's got his own problems that he's dealing with, okay?
I'm going to just jump back in because I got a minute or so here. I blurted out when you said you were Taurus and he was a Sag, and I just said move on. And people were laughing, you know, how blunt I was. I'm going to really be blunt. I'm going to let the whole thing loose, okay?
Go for it.
I have I have had sex with almost 200 men, and not a single fucking one of them was a Sagittarius. I'm a Taurus, okay? I'm telling you. I've been played by Sagittarius. I'm just saying. I have nothing against them. And I'm sure they're fucking somebody, but they ain't fucking me, okay? And I'm telling you, it's truth, baby. I have met some of them in the... I have met some of them that are in the, you know what they call PUA, Pickup Artists, or NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, PUA community. I've been played that way. They do dance a good dance. They are attractive and they dance, but I don't know what they don't want a Taurus. It's not that they're bad people. Something about what a Taurus is, they look at it and they go, ugh, it's dull as bricks or something. But you know, it's interesting. See, he had those sex books there in his library. You picked up on them right away. Why? Because you're a Taurus. The word sex appears. A Taurus is just whoop. They just turn around and look right at it. You know. So, sweetheart. Somebody else. This ain't the one. But, and again, I know I've probably angered a bunch of Sagittarians. I know Sagittarians who happily enjoying their lives with Libras and with other, you know, other signs. I mean, with Aries. Oh, my God, Sag and Aries make a great team. But for some reason...
Just to jump in there, I know you said you've never slept with any Sagittarius. I dated a Sagittarius back in the day. And I could tell you that you're dead on. It's just the way a Taurus thinks and the way a Sagittarius thinks is very, very different. I'm a very typical Taurus, and she was a very typical Sagittarius. And I could tell you that, you know, the connection isn't always as good. Intellectually, there can be. Usually, if a Sagittarius and a Taurus are getting together, it's because there's an intellectual interest there. And it's stimulates long, but sooner or later, it kind of falls apart. So on that.
I would like to jump in here just so that she can get another perspective. I think that she also needs to hear that there is somebody else that is coming along. I mean, one of the things that
I wanted to get to that. Yes.
I want to leave a better taste instead of just forget about it, go away, and you know that's it. She does have someone who is more mature. He's an air sign. He is somebody who is intellectual, mature. And there is a sense of risk, in one sense of risk of opening herself up to somebody that, you know, there is that. But I see the Two of Cups and the Ace of Cups, really nice, really good. And I would say look to it in an 8-cycle, 8 hours, 8 days, 8 weeks, 8 months, because I've got the Eight of Cups.
Fantastic!
Thank you
all so much.
Yeah,
that's
a good thing to say, and I've still got to ask forgiveness of all the Sages here. I have Gemini rising, and my dear husband has Sag rising. We do everything by opposites. I'm a Taurus, and he's a Scorpio, and so our sun signs are opposite, and our rising signs are opposite, and his moon is conjunct my sun. So I'm not trying to give some sort of dumb little hard and fast rules here. There's so much complexity to a chart. So all y'all Sages, but I do have and intellectually. Oh, I love Sages. They are great, great thinkers. All right, now, but as far as you drawing in someone new, let's go to that for a second too. Miss Elvira said someone is coming to you, and you said with a cycle of 8. Is that what you said?
8. Mm-hmm.
8.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, 8, when she says that, a cycle of 8, I'm just going to throw in an idea here. Look, be on the lookout for anyone whose numerology adds up to 8, either their birth date, their full name. Look for 8s in their street address. When we talk about a number like this, we're talking about more than just 8 weeks. We're talking about the use of that number to determine, is this person right or wrong? Okay? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is just amazing.
All righty. Well, good luck to you. And if you ever need numerology done on a person and want to know if they're a good match for you, I do that kind of work. Other people at AIR do too, just based on numerology. It's a very quick 10-minute, $10 reading for me. Give me your name and your birth date, their name and their birth date. I'll work out the numerology, and I will see if you have some astro-numerological compatibility going on there. Okay, real simple.
Just keep your eyes open, because in my geomantic reading, the indication of new love for you isn't going to be until around the holidays. You're looking at early December mid-December is where I would see that, you know, keep your eyes open and eyes peeled, because that's when this person is going to matter.
Yeah.
Will do. Thank you, man. Conjure Ali.
Yeah. Okay, sweetheart. Interesting situation, and we wish you all the best.
You've all been
all right.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great. And a big shout-out to Papa Newt for just posting URLs in the chat room just as fast as he can type them and cut and paste them. I don't know how he's doing it. He's on fire. Okay. all righty. Miss Tammy Lee, take it away, and we're going to go after that. We're going to go to our free spell section.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And, y'all, we have about 10 minutes left in
mm-hmm.
today's Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Roadwork Hour. And from coast to coast and around the world, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Roadwork Hour is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this over now to Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com in Forestville, California for our free spell. Miss Elvira.
Yes, I'm back again.
Yay.
Yay. Okay, well, the final spell that I want to talk about with regards to a success spell, actually I have a picture of something that I did similar on my web page on the AIR website, and it is to take a bowl of salt and put it in the center of your altar, and then take two yellow candles and place them on either side of the bowl, and then you will take and get a crown, a representation. I used a Christmas ornament that I had been given by someone, and I used that as crown, and I placed it on a raised platform, and then put my cloth over it so that it was like golden and it, you know, regal. And then I placed a what we call an altar candle, which is one white candle in the far back in line with it. And then I actually used Mary Magdalene as my goddess that I put in the center or as the icon. You can choose Lakshmi. You can choose the Archangel Fortuna, you know, anyone that resonates with you that you feel is someone who is with riches. And so then what I did was is I took a key. I also happened to have somebody else gave me another. I love the people that give me Christmas ornaments. They gave me this red styrofoam sparkly key. And so what I did is I put it in to the salt. And I, of course, lit the two candles and the altar candle. And then I took the salt and I put it down. And I used it like I was putting in a lock, and I turn it left, and I make a complete turn in place. And what I do is I basically say, unlock and open the doors of success, manifestation, and abundance to flow to me in and then whatever the project is that I'm doing or job or things that I'm doing. And then I just take the key out. I left it in the picture. I left it in so people could see what it's like. But I usually take it out and I put it down next to the salt bowl, and then I just let everything burn down. And then I usually take the wax of the two yellow candles and a pinch of salt, and I put it in a little bowl on my altar, so I keep it there as a reminder. And I like to sometimes leave the altar up with the other items just for like a cooking, let it cook for about 3 to 4 days.
Wow. You know, it's so interesting. Now, that spell, I have described it to people, and I've been describing it wrong, because I know an almost identical spell to that, but it uses sugar.
And I use sugar as well. I use sugar as well. This one, I use salt.
I was taught. See, I knew this spell as a sugar spell. And well, this shows something about hoodoo. It is word of mouth. People learn it from one to another. The
mm-hmm.
way I was taught it is, if you're going to go to apply for a job and you needed a position, or especially if you wanted to move to a new position in your department or whatever, you know, and you want them to post a new listing, or if you wanted to get promoted, you want to open the door. In other words, but if you want an interview, to take a bowl of sugar. And
and put the names or the business cards of all concerned, you know, that would be all members of your company or all people who might be hiring or whatever it may be, and layer them in that sugar and turn the key in that. I love that giant ornamental key. It looks like a big Mardi Gras, you know, thing. You got
yeah.
the key and you got the crown. It just is so beautiful. That is pretty much one of the prettiest altar setups I've seen in just in years. But I was taught the same thing with the key and sugar. And then you can use the usual formula of speech to sugar, which is to lick your finger, touch it to the sugar, lick your tongue, and I mean, I put the finger on the tongue and then say, sugar is sweet to me, so will, you know, Boss Fogarty be sweet to me and hire me for this other position or whatever it is. And you turn the key, but that you turn it every day for mm-hmm. a number of days. So that's just a slightly different way of doing it, but that is a very similar. Now, the salt is interesting because salt is what they say, salt does what you tell it to do. A lot of people know of salt as a preserver and as a protectant, but salt can be used for getting things, too. Salt can be used for jobs. One of the old hoodoo spells uses salt and gravel root to get a job, and you throw that at someone's feet. So your use of salt is not from is not off track. It's just two different ways to do the same thing. Very
interesting. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I always look at salt as a grounding element, and, you know, sugar is too, but, you know, in what I was doing for that particular ritual was to ground the energy of success for a actual sale of a house, a very large house and a very large sale. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted, you know, the salt and, you know, that kind of energy. But I tend to go with you. I use the sugar a lot for work. Too.
Yeah, but see, no, I dig that because salt is also used to bless a house. So
mm-hmm.
if that was for the sale of a house, salt is often used for house blessing, salt on bread and things like that, the first bread you eat at the house. So I understand where that would come from, too. And the key has a whole new meaning now when you're talking about the key to the door to the unlock
mm-hmm.
the abundance because that's the sale of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also
mm-hmm.
going to point out that same, now we're talking about success, but I'm going to talk about that same idea of a key can be used to get someone out of jail who is in jail but needs to get an early release by a parole. And you put in all the names of the probation or parole board or whatever they call it in whatever state or locality that you live in, anybody who might speak and make a judgment on this case. And you put all their names in the bowl of sugar, and you put a key in, and then the key is turned. And the same idea, turning the key opens the door, but in this case, you're opening up the door to the jail. And
right.
So you would use court case oil to dress that key.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So there's many, many ways to do that spell. I'm going to tell them now. I said it wrong. I thought you had sugar in that bowl, but salt makes perfect sense because that was to sell a house.
Yes,
beautiful
it was.
Work, Elvira, beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
All righty. Yeah, you're darn good.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm in good company. I mean, look at the two of you. I can't ask for better colleagues to work with.
Well,
oh, you were too sweet.
Now, remember, all Miss Elvira, you're going to be at the Mystic Fair in Santa Rosa October 19th, so let's not forget that. All right, and you're going to be doing readings there and teaching a workshop on the labyrinth. Okay?
Yes.
All righty. Okay, let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she'll take us out of here.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and thank you, Miss Kat, and thank you, Contramental Lee, and thank you so much, Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com in Forestville, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Apollo Dark of ApolloDark.com in Forestville, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Contramental Lee at contramentallee.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in next week when we will, at the same time, when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Good night, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much, Elvira, and we'll have you back
thank
on
you.
Again real soon, I hope.
All right.
Okay, thank Bye-bye. You, Contraman Ali.
Always a pleasure, my actors win.
Okay. And we'll stick around in the chat room for a few minutes after the show. We'll see you all next week. And remember, keep that date, October 19th, the Mystic Fair, Santa Rosa, California, Vets Building. $5 admission, free parking. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.